3, 2, 1.
And welcome, everybody, back to the Final Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Avi Sharma, and today's episode, we got a really good one. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a one to get everything back up and going. It's last week was really fun with Overwatch, talking with Nate. We got some good insight from him, and I briefly explained some things. Quickly want to say that I thought that, this podcast was going to be up to the fans, and I just want to let everybody know that I was a little busy. I've been a little behind on my schedule with the past weeks or so. So just to let everybody know that will happen. But this week, don't you worry, it's going to be a good one. We're going to talk about the hottest, and I mean the hottest games out right now, and that is Fortnite and PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, or what everybody calls PUBG. And today I have a pretty good host, or co-host, I should say. Really excited to talk to him. He's one of my buddies that I've just started to pick up and start to play some video games with. His name's Heath Atkins. We'll get him in here very, very soon. But first, let's get started. I think everybody needs to know what is Fortnite and what is PUBG. And if you don't know yet, you're missing out on some real fun. So let's get started. We'll start with the one that's free right now that everybody can get on PC and console. It is Fortnite. This game has blown away everything known to man right now when it's come to it. It's a battle royale game, so for people who don't know what that is, it's kind of like your Hunger Games, so you'll have 100 people that will fly in, they'll parachute off of a bus, and they will land wherever they want to, and then they have to literally scrap and get items. They can tear down buildings and just they can create things, so they can build up, like they can get wood and make ramps and whatnot to walk up things. And then you basically have to survive and take out the other 99 opponents, or if you're with a team, you can have a team up of a two-man group or a three-man group or a four-man group, and you play against everybody else. But I think it's a short term right now, but they actually have a 20-man group going on right now. It's just a short temporary thing that they're having fun with. So five groups of 20. I've actually played it one time. It's pretty insane. I didn't win, but it was pretty cool. Just something that Fortnite's really just messing around with right now. But anyways, you literally go looking around. You loot every house and whatnot to find ammo, find different kind of weapons, and there's treasure chests, so you get rewards. And you have to plan it all out. And the best part about it is there's a storm that comes in. And this storm makes you have to move, and you have to be in a white circle at all times if you want to live. Of course, you have time to get to the circle before the storm gets there. But if you get caught in the storm, you won't die immediately. You just start losing health. And then you can start to die quickly. And then once you make it in the white circle, you're okay. And then that just changes over time. That's the cool thing. It's not the same spot every time. It's completely random. All the weapons are randomized. It's RNG based, which basically means, it's random every single time, and you literally don't know what you're getting. There's many places on there. I love the names of some of the places. Tilted Towers. Never go there. That's my strongest advice. Tilted Towers is the worst place to go, because that's where everybody lands, because that's where all the loot is. My strongest place and my favorite place to go is prison. I think prison's one of the sneaky, low-key places, just because when Fortnite first came out, everybody went to prison because that was like the one place. And then now it's starting to fade out a little bit. Everybody's kind of going all over the place. That's where I go, and that's where I've had my success. I've actually won on Fortnite. I've won a couple times by myself. I am horrible by myself. I cannot build. The crafting is my biggest downfall. I watch all these guys on streams and Twitch and watch my friends do it, and I'm just sitting there thinking, how in the world can you guys do that? And they're like, it just takes practice. And so I'm not one of those guys, but hey, that's what my teammates are for. I prefer playing with that four stack just because it gives me that advantage to necessarily look around and see what my buddies are doing, and just another eye for enemies coming in. And we've been playing Fortnite for quite some time. When it first came out, that's when I was a big fan, because we just had a blast with it, and it was right there with PUBG. So they were going neck and neck, and people just couldn't decide. Now, towards the end here, when we go to today's date, Fortnite's dominating. I mean, it is way up there. One, the fact that it's free. PUBG is $30, but it's free, and the amount of things that you can do on there just blows my mind. It's more creative and more relaxed. It's not your real graphics or anything like that. It's animated. They just came out with the Battle Pass, so you can buy things, get different looks for your characters and whatnot, do some cool emotes. So Fortnite's really growing, and my favorite part about what they're going to do for Fortnite, for people who don't know, is later this year, the campaign will be free for everybody. So the entire game of Fortnite is going to be free. And so the campaign, literally, it's like your Gears of War. It's a horde mode, but throughout the whole story. So you build up, try to defend against these guys coming in. And so we'll actually get to see what the storm is about. And we actually get to see what Fortnite is actually really about. So I'm really excited about that. And then we should go on to the next game. PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. This game was phenomenal off the start because it was the first one of its kind, really. I mean, you had H1Z1, but it just never progressed. It was one of those games that just... It had potential, but no one could ever just go with it, you know? And then PlayerUnknown's comes out, and every single person I know just hopped on there and played. It's the exact same game style, but this time it's realistic. It's got real characters looking, graphics and whatnot. There's no building or whatnot, so it's legit strategic as can be, coming down to the wire. And, you know, personally, I kind of like the PUBG aspect because it's more realistic, but the Fortnite aspect just gets you more fun in it, and I think so. Both of them are great games. I've had a blast with them. I've gotten more wins on Fortnite, but PUBG, I think PUBG, some of those sniper shots and whatnot, they're not my kind, and so I kind of like Fortnite on that. But the goofiness of Fortnite as well is what really gets me going, too. But, you know, when I need to take a moment and just get all serious, and I'm like, you know what, I need to play some PUBG. We'll squad up on there, and we'll play. PUBG actually just created a new map, and so they're about to have their third map on there. My favorite thing that they did is they made the regular map where it starts raining. And so the fog and whatnot. Now, some people really didn't like that because they couldn't see or whatnot. I think that was a cool aspect to PUBG, and I think that they should do a night map. I think that would be the coolest thing ever. You know what? You have to go find, like, night vision goggles. Everything's thermaled. I think that would be one of the coolest game types. So PUBG, if you're listening to me, which is very, very doubtful, do it for me. I think a night vision night map would be really, really cool. And then the new map that they just brought out, it's like a desert place. It's really good. I think they've added some things that are getting these players more involved. They're trying to get PUBG back up and going because it was the only RNG that was out for a while, the Battle Royale type. Nobody really had anything else to go to. You had the H1Z1, but nobody just didn't want to pay the money for it. They just wanted PUBG. And Fortnite wasn't out yet, so everybody was playing that, you know. PUBG went huge, and I mean huge, when it hit Twitch. There was everybody playing it. There was Summit, there was Ninja, Josh OG, you name it. Everybody was playing it, and so that's what really got PUBG up and going. And now you're just seeing everybody on the Fortnite grind because, one, it's free, it's two, it's more fun, and three, this is the most important one, is the servers are consistent. That is one of the craziest things that is right now the biggest struggle for PUBG, is when you get in sometimes you just get DC'd, and it takes a while to get back in. There's updates and whatnot. Actually, I got to complain about Fortnite, because if you got a PC, Fortnite updates every single day. It's absolutely ridiculous. We'll get Heath's advice on that if it's the same way on Xbox. But it's just insane. And the other aspect of PUBG is your reward system. That is a key thing, is the collections. You know, you get treasure chests that you pay for and whatnot. But then now they added this thing, which I'm just not a fan of microtransactions. It's keys. You have to buy these keys to unlock the chest to get the rewards. Now, I'm a man who, you know what, I just killed, or I'm the last man standing over 99 other guys, and I should get a free thing. But no, I got to go online. I got to pay for this thing to get my reward. I mean, that's kind of messed up, if you ask me. But, you know, it is what it is. Both microtransactions are just a whole new level, and I tell you what, I could spend a whole episode about microtransactions, which I don't think anybody would want me to hear, because it's just a bad deal. I would just go off on it, but we'll save that for another day. But like I said, both games are great. They're really fun. It's something different from what we've been playing lately. I mean, you play your Call of Duties. You got the zombie type, yes, but, I mean, you're not going against other people. You know, you got your sports games and whatnot, but these two games have really changed the atmosphere of gaming right now. And I mean, Heath, I don't know if you know this, but this is the craziest thing right now. They're actually coming out with these games on your phone. So Fortnite is coming out. It's not out yet for Fortnite, but there's like a PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's like an off-brand, but it's out right now, and people are playing it on their phone. So whether you're at home, you're on the road, or I hate to say this, but you're at school and you're playing, I mean, it's just ridiculous how big these two games have gotten. And so now I'm going to bring in Heath. Heath is a really good friend of mine. Him and I work at the same place. We've been we haven't started to play any games yet, and that's kind of my fault. He's a big R6 guy, Rainbow Six Siege guy, so we'll probably bring him back on the show again whenever it's time for that. But Heath has been a really good gamer. I've been talking to him lately about Fortnite and PUBG, and you know, I had a late thing here because Heath just got on today. I said, "Hey man, one of my buddies couldn't make it today, so I need somebody to step up and talk about this." And I think right when I sent that text message, Heath was fist pumping in the air, ready to go, because he's got some words to say. So Heath, I'm going to bring you on here. I want you to tell the audience, you know, some little things about you, you know, what made you the gamer that you are, what's your favorite game, and so just take it away, Heath.
All right, well, thanks a bunch, Avi. I really do appreciate being on your podcast here, and it's a pleasure. I know I've heard about it a handful of times, but as for what made me the gamer I am today, I don't know. It's really weird. My gaming journey is not like those of other people that are my age. I started out. I've always been. From right up until I was like 16 or 17 years old, everything before that, I was like a couple generations behind as far as like the console that I played on and all of that. I love playing like really old style games. When I first started really gaming, it was stuff like Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo, stuff like you know Super Smash Brothers for the 64. Oh my goodness, Super Smash Bros. Melee, obviously, for the GameCube. I'm big into Smash. I really love those games. And then, you know, you move on, you have the third person Legend of Zelda games with the real 3D, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. Those are I praise those heavily, even though I would love to smite anybody that enjoys the Water Temple on Ocarina of Time, but that's different. But then I progressed on and I started playing a whole lot of Halo 3. I mean, I played that like a fiddle. I mean, religiously. Moving on, I hated Halo 4. I'm not a huge fan of Halo 5. I just play SWAT on Halo 5, which is like the Scrub Lord thing to do, but I like it anyway. My favorite game ever is super hard, but I love there's kind of two different ends of the spectrum, I guess. My favorite game ever is a real close tie between Super Smash Bros. 4 for the Wii U. I know it's not a super popular title, especially being on the Wii U on a console that failed, essentially. But I love that game alongside Melee. Brawl's kind of like the ugly stepchild that nobody likes because of tripping. I don't know if anybody even knows what I'm talking about with the Brawl tripping, but it's stupid. The dumbest thing ever invented in video games. And then alongside that, Rainbow Six Siege. Dude, I don't understand what my fascination with this game is. This game gets me tilted to the point where I just like scream at all my friends and I really make an ass out of myself. And then it also like gives me the most satisfaction ever when I finally hit plat, or God forbid one of these days when I hit diamond, I swear, Avi, I'm going to send you a paragraph text messages thanking my God and my people and my teammates. But yeah, those are my two favorite games right now.
And you know, Heath, I got to agree with you. The Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U, real quick, I'll touch on that with you. It was actually a very successful game. It was probably one of the most successful games on the Wii U. But I think the best part that I loved about that the most, and I wish Melee did this, was 8-player Smash. I think when you're at a buddy's house and you got 8 controllers hooked up and you're all on one screen duking it out, having a good time, there's nothing better than couch gaming. It is the best thing to ever do with your friends. It does get intense sometimes. It gets heated and everything, but it's just the different atmosphere. It's a different ball game, and Smash is a whole other ball game that just changes everything about gaming, and it's one of the best fighting games out there. And, you know, R6, I love Rainbow Six Siege. It is, I've told this to every single person. I'll preach it time and time and again. It's the most tactical game out there, hands down. You know, it is the most strategic and so complicated. I mean, if you are playing with just a TV and you don't have a headset on, you're not playing that game. I mean, that's how in-depth that game really is. But that's at a whole nother level, too. We'll get into that. But, Heath, I got to know, PUBG and Fortnite, you know, what's your opinions on them right now? I know you've been playing them. You've gotten some victories. Take me through those steps of the Fortnite and PUBG grind that you got so far.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with Fortnite for obvious reasons, to you, obviously, because I've got some things I need to put off my chest for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, my God. But let's start with Fortnite. Dude, Fortnite is so much fun for me. I'm almost the opposite of you. My shooting ability is not phenomenal in Fortnite, but I can build very quickly. I can build towers. I can build little strongholds for myself. I'm really good at baiting out traps for people that are trying to push me. That's one of my favorite aspects of that game. It's one of the clear and decisive reasons why I favor that over PUBG. Although really, the reasons why I favor Fortnite over PUBG are not so much things that Fortnite does really well. It's things that PUBG does to piss me off on a daily basis. But man, Fortnite's cool because when you pick up a weapon, that's it for that weapon. You know, you don't have to find a sight for it because not all weapons have sights in that game. Like you have the scoped ARs, and you have both the bolt action and the semi-auto snipers. That's it. I mean, as far as scoped weapons, that's the extent of that. And then, you know, you have your Deagle now, which is the hand cannon. You have revolver, pistol, SMG, silenced SMG, silenced pistols, ARs, burst ARs, and, you know, rocket launchers, grenade launchers, which I swear to you right now, if they put rocket launchers and grenade launchers into PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I will uninstall that game today. The day that they do that, I will uninstall that game, and I will never, ever, ever pay that $30 again for the entirety of its existence. And let's see. I love the storm system in Fortnite because this is more that I'm going to get into with player unknowns here in a second. But the storm system in Fortnite is great because it doesn't matter where you land and where the storm starts, you are able to make it to that circle before the storm hits you. I mean, if you leave your desert, your initial destination early enough, you are capable of making it to that circle. And that's my favorite part, is that you are not absolutely screwed by the RNG at any given time. Now, you know, inversely, when you start out in that circle, you're not exactly in the clear either, because a lot of times when you start out in the circle, you're going to have to venture on to find more loot, and that's when people are going to be coming in from the outside circle and are going to be pushing you, so you're constantly going to be fighting. And that's one more good thing that I have for Fortnite, is that you have so much more action all the time there, because the map is, I would say, a sixth or a fifth of the size of the PUBG map. So you have the same amount of people that you're playing against at all times, but on a exponentially smaller map. So there's always people relatively close to you. Now let me go on to my thoughts and critique of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. First of all, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, one streamer said it best, and I will take these words till the day I die, or at least until the day PUBG doesn't exist anymore, and that was Dr. Disrespect. He said, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds was made by Blue Balls Entertainment, by some little midget out of South Korea, and oh my God, like, okay, so here are the things that I hate about PUBG before I even start playing the game. You get to your player customization, and in PUBG there are battle points. So if I want a bald head to start the game out, I have to pay 3,000 battle points. 3,000 battle points. You get, like, on an average match, you get 78 battle points. 78 battle points you get, and that's just to cut your freaking hair. You want to change your facial hair? 3,000 battle points. You want to change your skin complexion? 3,000 battle points. We've already talked about 12,000 battle points. We haven't played the fucking game yet. All right. Now we move on, and you start out with the Storm. And this first thing that I'm going to say is only on console because on PC this isn't a factor. But on console, you land anywhere. Okay, let's take the prison for example. There is a prison also, just like there is on Fortnite. You land, and as you land on top of the prison, you bounce around on this Play-Doh for 25 to 35 seconds, and the people that land also next to you may or may not have landed on the Play-Doh. They may have landed on an actual building. When I say Play-Doh, I mean like the shit that hasn't rendered yet, and so the game is like trying to decide if you're falling through the ceiling or if you're going to stay on top of the building for a second. And these people, they see the guns clear as day, and you're still seeing this bullshit 8-bit rendered, unrendered stuff for the, like I said, the 25, 35 seconds or whatever, and you're just bobbing up and down like a fish that hasn't decided if he's going to take the bait or not, and then you get shot in the head and you die, or you get punched in the head one time with the Superman punch because you haven't found a helmet because you can't see the helmet yet, and you die. That's assuming that you're solo queuing and you're not in duos. But okay, so let's say you make it out of the Play-Doh, you find yourself a couple of weapons, and you do land on that prison, which by the way is on the far like southeast side of the map, and the circle begins on the northwest side of the map. Let's say the circle begins. Like I said, this map is enormous, okay, and each highly populated area, with the exception of like the military base, which has a few vehicles, the George Pool, which may have one or two close to it, Pachinki, which has a couple, Milta, which has like one. You land on that prison, and the people that you land next to are like, no, we don't want this fight. We're going to hop in the vehicle, and we're going to leave. You're fucked. You're done. There's no way you're going to make it to that circle. There's no way, because the game puts in like 15 vehicles for all 100 people. And so you're going to run, and you may have found one first aid kit, one energy drink, which by the way, like, you have your medical supplies, you have first aid kits, med kits. Med kits take you all the way back to 100% health. First aid kits take you like to 80 or something like that, 75. They don't show you percentage like they do on Fortnite. Again, another point to Fortnite. Epic Games, you did a fantastic job. Blue Balls Entertainment, this is minus one for you, because I don't know exactly how much health I have. I don't know what percentage a bandage does. So then you're running through this blue storm that takes a little tick damage on you. Every once in a while you have to stop and drink an energy drink, which doesn't make any sense because I know I can run while I'm drinking an energy drink. I know I can run while I'm taking painkillers. I'm fully capable of it. I know it. I've done it before. I've ran while I've drank an energy drink. It's possible. I can run while I wrap a bandage around my arm too. No, that'll cancel. While you're in a vehicle, say your buddy does pick you up in a motorcycle or in a Jeep, you're driving a very calm 40 miles an hour, you can't drink that energy drink. You can't take a health kit. You're screwed. You are screwed. And so say you're running through this and assuming that nobody picks you up along the way, nobody finds you along the way, no enemies see you because they're already at the circle because they found a vehicle because you didn't find one of the 12 vehicles that PlayerUnknown's decided to put on his stupid battlegrounds. Then you're screwed and you have to go back to the loading screen and you sit there at the loading screen back to the training island, the startup island where you pick up a VSS and you shoot your buddy in the face for no damage the whole time. Dude, I can't say enough. And then when you do get a good gun and you do land in the circle and you're posted up and everything is fine, one of like the seven supply drops that happen throughout the whole game will land directly on top of you and bring every player into your vicinity, and you're going to get frag grenades thrown up there just in case there's somebody camping out that. And so you have to leave that immediately. There's almost zero chance of you actually getting into that crate and finding a good gun that's worth picking up and worth the risk of it. Most of the time, when I actually do get to a supply crate and I don't get picked off from 2 miles away by an AWM, then I find like a level 2 police vest and an adrenaline needle, and that's it, and maybe some painkillers. It just drives me absolutely bonkers. And then the part that you just cannot control is the freaking chubby kid from North Korea that sits 6 feet under the actual playing map, and he's sitting there hacking, and he just runs around with a silenced ump and shoots you through the map. and the hacking on PUBG is out of control. There's hackers in every game, and I'm not denying that there's hackers in Fortnite, even though they do a much better job of denying that. I'm not saying that this is right. This is a little overkill, but they like sued like a 14-year-old kid for hacking. And like I said, that's got a little overkill. I think they should just ban the kid. But that's different. They keep that shit out of Fortnite pretty well.
And you know, Heath, I just got to say, first of all, wow. You know, I'm stunned by all the things you say, but you brought up a lot of great points that I just want to quickly discuss about. So first of all, you know, PUBG did come out before Fortnite, so we got to give them that credit. You know, for Fortnite, they could really kind of steal some things from PUBG. They took some notes from them, and so that's why you saw the good things that Fortnite has really done compared to PUBG. But one thing that PUBG, I think, just really, really messed up on was going to the Xbox One and the Xbox One X and everything. Yes, it was a huge and excitement announcement that they were ready to go, but the thing was, is when PUBG came out on console, it was still an early access for the PC on Steam. And so, you know, there were still some kinks that they needed to work out, try to get it going. And progressively, they actually started to do that. They did. But once it came out on Xbox, it just wasn't ready. The rendering system, the graphics look great on there, don't get me wrong, but just how long it takes to get on there, it's a bit of a struggle, and that really hurts, because you know Microsoft really needs a boost right now. They're in the down. They had two Xbox exclusive games last year, Gears of War 4 and Halo Wars 2. That's not a lot. You got to get your foot on the ground, because PlayStation's winning that battle, and that's a ball game that I just can't cover, because I'm an Xbox guy, and so it hurts me to see that they're trailing. But you know, Heath, I just want to talk about how these both of them are improving and whatnot, but like you talk about it on the Xbox, how it's a bit rough and everything. Would you be okay if they said, hey, we're just going to take this game out for a little bit, we're just going to wait a little bit? Because, I mean, this is the first game that they have made in a while. I believe this is the first game that they have made. And so they had a great idea. They had a great concept. But would you be okay with PUBG just getting out of the whole Xbox idea and maybe even the PC idea as well, just to settle down, fix some things for a solid month or two, and get their foot on the ground? Now, obviously, they're not going to be the Fortnite level. I mean, that's just, there's no way around that. But, you know, you can definitely see an excitement thing out of this, because PUBG is realistic. That is what people want nowadays. And so, you know, with the vehicles, the armor, and all that fun stuff, that's cool. That's a really different aspect compared to Fortnite, because all you get is shields, to get body armor. But other than that, you know, PUBG, you got to get all that armor to be prepared. And so would you be okay as an Xbox guy? I know you're trying to get a PC, but as an Xbox guy, would you be okay if they just took a step back and tried fixing some things out?
I would have no problem with them just stepping aside and being like, hey, we've got some things we need to fix. We need to put more vehicles in. We need to make things render faster, at least the things that are closer to where you're at. They need to render faster. Like, I don't care if I land on the north side of the map, if the stuff on the south side of the map renders on my game or not. That doesn't matter to me at all. If they do it, if they approach it from a Fortnite standpoint, where Fortnite actually just implemented this system where things render at a certain distance from where your character is at, and that is monumental. That helps the game substantially. You know, as soon as you land, there is everything that you need, everything that you're ever going to be able to walk to. Everything is there. Now, I'm not going to be able to see. You know, if I climb to the highest point in Fortnite, I can't see the buildings that are rendered across the map, because I don't need to. There's no way that I'm going to make a 744 meter snipe from out there, so there's no reason for them to render that stuff for me. That's what Fortnite did really, really well. I would not mind at all if PUBG just kind of stepped back. Maybe not on PC, because I have played a little bit of PUBG on PC, and that's really crisp. It's really clean now. The hackers on PC is a different story. Like I said, it's on every game. I think more so on PUBG, just because it's so easy to exploit with 100 people on one game. That's really tough to you know, especially because you don't spectate the people that kill you. So there's no way to like to tell the player, you know, the devs that, hey, this guy is definitely cheating because I watched him cheat. You can't do that, really. And one thing you mentioned DCing, I totally forgot to do that. It happened to me earlier today, and I still forgot to say something about it. There's a clip on my Xbox right now on my captures where there was 14 people left, and I was driving a buggy to get right back into the center of the circle, and I DC'd, and my buddy took a clip of it for me and sent it where I'm just driving the buggy at the bottom of the ocean. My artificial lungs fill up with water and I die while I have an AWM and a scar with a 4x scope on it. And by the way, PUBG, we didn't mention this really, but like the guns that you pick up in PUBG, I mean, when you pick up an M14, it's a raw gun. You don't have ammo for it. You have to pick up the 5.56 ammo. There's individual ammo for all the rifles. You know, you pick up a Tommy gun, you have to find 45 ACP ammo. You pick up an AKM, you have to find 7.62. M16, M14, SCAR, those all take 5.56. When you find the attachments, the M16 can't take a lot of the attachments. The M4 needs a tactical stock. It can take up to an 8x, or maybe even, I've never tried to put a 15x scope on it. There's no reason to put a 15x scope on an M14, but you can put up to an 8x scope on it. You can put an extended mag or a quick draw mag, or there are the rare extended quick draw mags. You can put flash hider suppressors, compensators. I mean, dude, the list goes on, and you can fully customize almost each and every one of your weapons, and that's really cool. I like that a lot, where you have to scavenge to find stuff that will give you an edge. You know, if you're sniping from on top of a hill, you're going to want that flash hider as opposed to the suppressor, because, you know, long distance, the suppressor is going to take away from your damage, whereas the flash hider is going to conceal your location. So that's really cool, something that Fortnite could maybe adapt and take even more edge over PUBG. But yeah, to your original question, that would be no problem for me. I would just switch over to Fortnite and play that with a smile on my face until PUBG fixes their shit.
And, you know, I really liked there how you described how detailed PUBG was at the end there, Heath. That's one of the downfalls to PUBG, but also a good thing. You know, how detailed and complex that game really is really what takes away, because Fortnite is basic. It is as basic as it can be, and there is nothing wrong with that. That is a really great thing. But, you know, the thing that PUBG has is they have that details. They want everything to look crisp and clean because, you know, there's that one person be like, oh, the graphics are just not there right now. This game needs the graphic update. And, you know, that's not necessarily true. Graphics don't mean anything. I mean, look at Fortnite. It is really the cartoon anime game that you can have fun with. But I don't know if you saw it last night, but I'm actually glad that I did this podcast today, because last night on Twitch, one of the top streamers on there, his name is Ninja. He plays Fortnite. He's unbelievably amazing. I mean, the things that man can do is just hats off to him immediately. But history was made last night on Twitch and Fortnite. I mean, we had a professional gamer team up with a professional rapper in Drake. And right then and there, it was just Ninja and Drake. They had 500,000 viewers on Twitch. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but that was the most ever at one time on a personal stream. The highest ever was 380, and Ninja shattered that. And it only gets better from there. Travis Scott decided to tweet at Drake. He joined in, and then he started playing with them. And then all of a sudden, an NFL wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, joins in on them. So they have four all-stars, if you will, playing Fortnite, and they are killing the records. They hit a peak at 612,000 viewers, and also to credit this happened at like 2 or 3 in the morning, too, so people were still waiting. Just imagine if this was prime time at like 7 o'clock or something. They would be, I'd say they could easily hit the millions, but Heath, I gotta ask you, I believe you watched it, but what does that do for the gaming community to see these people just say, you know what, I'm taking a break from my real life to go have fun with this guy who does this for a living and just play random people online? And then my other part of that question is how would you feel if you killed Drake or Travis Scott, Ninja, or even an NFL wide receiver in Juju Smith?
First of all, it doesn't matter if I live this duration of a life 1,000 times over again. I will never ever kill Ninja. I mean, that dude is a god. I mean, I'm a religious guy, and that's a little sacrilegious. But in Fortnite terms, that man is a god. I mean, there's It's unreal the kind of things that he can do. But if I were to kill somebody like Juju Smith-Schuster, first of all, I'm not a big Steelers fan, so yeah, you have that. I'd be super jacked about that. If I killed Drake, I mean, I would just tell him my username right now is Best You Never Hadkins. So that speaks for itself too. I'm the best he never had on his squad. So man, that's so unreal, and that's the kind of thing that's the reason that Fortnite is free, is because it's so good, it's so polished. I mean, it's cartoon graphics. Yeah, it's very basic. There's four types of ammo. That's it. There's heavies, which are for snipers, mediums, which are for assault rifles, small, which are for pistols, and rockets, which are for grenade launchers and rockets. And that's so simple. And then as far as building, you have wood, which takes a little bit. I mean, it takes a little bit of damage to break down, but it also builds a lot quicker. Brick, which is a mixture of the two. And metal, which takes forever to build up, but also sustains for a long time. You have three building materials. That's it. It's so basic. And, I mean, you tear down rocks, and it's not like you see the rock slowly degrade. It has a health bar, so there's less rendering that the game has to do for itself, so it runs smoother. And these are the things that all piece together to make this game it's the only way that a game like this could be free is – there's so many good things about it that you get millions and millions and millions of people, and even over half a million people just watching somebody else play the game. That's the only way that something like that's going to happen, is when you have so many of these good qualities. You watch these games like H1Z1 and PUBG just piss the fan base off to the point where they are done playing the game, and you fix all the things that are wrong with those games, and you simplify it down for the casual gamer. And that, I mean, it skyrockets the fan base for a game like this. And so they get all this free advertising. You get a guy like Ninja playing your game. Ninja, by the way, makes $350,000 a month playing video games on stream, just from donations and stuff like that, and Twitch commercials. I mean, that's unreal, and that's what he does for a living. And there are other guys like Dakota's, like CDN the Third, like High Distortion, who do the same kind of stuff. They just play the game, and people are so intrigued, and they want to know all the tricks and tricks to the trade. So they watch them play these games, and that's just not found somewhere in other games. You know, you don't watch 500,000, 600,000 people don't watch two guys duke it out in Mortal Kombat. You know, it's so basic, and it's not near complex enough for that many people to give a shit about it. You know. You move on. I mean, the world championship for Halo 5, I think, maxed out at 100,000 viewers. That's a fifth of the guy. That's a fifth, less than a fifth of the amount of viewers that this dude just did on his Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night, Thursday morning, whatever, on a day that most of these people that are watching the stream have to get up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning to go to work. This is stuff that people don't have to watch. It's not pivotal to the game at all. The game will go on, and nothing has changed after this is over with. There was no championship last night. It had nothing to do with any of that, and it just skyrocketed the game because that's how good the game is, and that's how big these people are in the community.
And that's the crazy thing about it. I mean, these guys just literally got on there to have fun. They just had a blast with random guy. I mean, I don't think Ninja really is best friends with Drake or anything like that, but it is crazy how this blew up the internet. I mean, it was on Snapchat, it was on Twitter, Instagram, you name it. I mean, it's the talk of the town today all around the world, and that's what is just the thing that I love to see, is gaming is really getting the appreciation that it deserves. It's not a bad thing. It's actually... I'm one of those people who think I'm not going to say it's an educational thing, but you do learn from video games. You have fun, and it's a way to kind of, yes, relieve some stress, but yes, so you also gain some stress from those games. I want to talk about the fun aspect, and I know you've had fun in both PUBG and Fortnite, and so it's just a grand old time with your friends, or sometimes even by yourself, because maybe some of those nitpick things, those bugs that happen, that you just laughing, like, I can't believe that just happened, or something like that. So just tell me a quick story of a funny thing that happened while you were playing either Fortnite or PUBG.
Well, first of all, I know I bag on PUBG a lot, but let me put it this way. I've gotten a lot of wins on Fortnite. I've gotten a whole lot of wins. I think right now in solos, I have 50 some wins in solos, and I never play solos. I mean, I always play with somebody else, so that goes to show. I mean, my solos is pretty good. Duos, I have 70 some wins. Squads, I have 50 some wins, and that just it feels so consistent. You get into the game very quickly, and I love that. Now PUBG, on the other hand, I have like 2 wins in duos. I have like 4 wins in squads, and I have 1 win in solos. And let me tell you something, there is no greater feeling on the face of the earth as far as gaming is concerned than when you see the bold yellow text, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I mean, that feels freaking great. I'm ready to gronk slam my controller because there are so many things in that game that just made me so mad over the course of the last 40 matches that I played that match was worth it. I got the loadout that I wanted. I didn't fall through a freaking crate and get stuck there while the storm encompassed me and killed me while I couldn't move out of the crate once it rendered. I mean, everything went right that round. I killed people. I got that drop on people. I found a vehicle to get to the circle. I mean, like, everything goes right that round, and that just gives you such like this crazy satisfaction that Fortnite really doesn't give me, because in Fortnite you die, you click, you know, spawn back in or ready up, and you're already on the battle bus and ready to go. It's not that big of a hassle to restart and revamp your stuff. I mean, it's very easy to pick up resources. It's a really easy, really stress free kind of gaming experience for Fortnite. But one of my most treasured memories so far as PUBG. I don't know if you're familiar with the VSS. It's a sniper rifle that has, I believe, like an 8x scope on it, or maybe even just a 4x scope, and it takes 9mm. Ammunition, which is one of the weaker, it is the weakest form of ammunition in the game, and so it takes a lot more. But it was one of those situations where my buddies and I had landed somewhere, got our equipment, whatnot. I found a level 3 helmet, which is super super rare. I found like a level 3 backpack, a pretty good vest. I was well decked out, and we see the circle is on the other side of the map, and I was already ready to just like throw a grenade at my feet and restart. But then I see a Jeep driving off, and from that point I just take out my VSS and I lead it like 70 feet ahead of the Jeep. And the guy must have been already low health, and I shot him straight square in the head. It stopped the Jeep. And his friends all just like got out of the vehicle because they thought it was somebody that was really close to them. They all got out of the vehicle and ran away. My buddies got into the Jeep and drove off and ended up winning the game. And it was that was like that game. I was so ready to just throw that game away and just condemn the game for giving me all this cool stuff and making it impossible for me to get to the circle. And then Fortnite, man, there's so many cool things in Fortnite that you can do. They recently introduced the impact grenades or the implosion grenades, whatever, where they don't deal any damage. You just like throw them at the ground, and whoever's close to them, they get shot in one direction. They get shot in the opposite direction that the impact. So like, you know, if an impact is thrown really close to the north side of a guy's body, it will rocket them south. If that makes any sense. And so you get into late game. You get into late game situations and you just like throw an impact grenade square at somebody's feet and they jump off into the storm and victory royale. That was a lot of fun, and I've done that a handful of times too.
And just a couple more questions, Heath, and we'll finish this thing up. You know, one thing that I really like about both of these games is how quickly, you know, you get done. And back in the day when these first games came out, it took forever for these games to finish because everybody would just sneak it out and want to get that win or whatever. Now it's like, you know, not even the first circle's done on Fortnite or even PUBG now. There's half the people left standing. That is one of the crazy things. But I got to know, is what is that itch that just keeps you going, that makes you want to keep playing? Because, I mean, I'm one of those guys that, well, when I win, I'm on top of the world. I don't want to play again. I don't want to hand that victory off to somebody else. But what's that itch that just makes you want to keep playing PUBG and Fortnite, that just the thrill of it? What gives you that energy, my man?
Mine's a little bit different because, like I said earlier, I don't like playing by myself. That's not fun for me at all. The reason I keep on playing and the reason I will continue to play, even though I bag on PUBG all the time, the reason I'll keep playing that game is because my buddies, we have a freaking blast. I mean, the bugs will just drive me to the point where I'm about to have a 2007 Britney Spears meltdown and start ripping out my hair and shaving my head. But it also brings some pretty great moments together. You know, you're driving a motorcycle and you just send it off a hill, and you know, you fly for 10 or 15 seconds and all your buddies are just sitting there in anticipation wondering if your motorcycle is going to blow up or if you're going to barrel roll and land it. There's so many different things that can go on, and you get a little bit of camaraderie from your friends. I know I'm not a local from around here. I'm not even within an hour and a half from living here in Pittsburgh. And so a lot of my friends that I used to game with way back in the day, I don't get to go over to their house and play Smash with them anymore. I don't get, you know, a lot of these games nowadays, they don't have the capability for just, you know, two people to squad up and have a good time. And, like, you know, you take Star Wars Battlefront 2, for example, there's really no teamwork involved in that game at all. You know, even when you squad up with somebody that is your friend, they don't have an impact on how you do as a team. You know, you just kind of run and die, run and die, run and die, run and kill, 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 run and die. You know, you have these games like PUBG where it's a big deal to die because you die for the rest of the match. You don't come back for that match and you don't get to kill the guy that just killed you. You don't get redemption. You know, you're in this, you know, you're giving call-outs to your teammates, and your teammates, you know, they really enjoy that, and they give you a pat on the back when you give them a good call-out, and they have a gun that's able to take down the opponent that you're referencing. That's in PUBG and in Fortnite. You know, if you know that your buddy picked up a gold sniper and your longest range weapon is a burst AR, you give the call out to your friend, and then you guys just enjoy that little moment of camaraderie where you came together and you did something really cool, and maybe you even got a clip out of it. That's the best part for me. That's why I keep on playing.
And last question here, Heath. You know, you talked about your victories and your success and all that stuff, and so tell my viewers, tell my listeners out there, what are the strategic things? What are some things to jot down that they need to know while playing these games? Where's a perfect place to land or something like that? Give them some last good advice.
All right, well, I have most of my success. I'm right there in the same boat with you. I hate Tilted Towers. I think it's the bane of my existence. Every time I've ever landed there, I've gotten absolutely just screwed by somebody else landing there a couple seconds before me and finding the purple tack shoddy that's on top of the roof right before I get it. So I don't like that place at all. My go-tos, I wait until I see the flight pattern. And it's less so in Fortnite because really, regardless of the flight pattern in Fortnite, if you want to go somewhere, you can get there. That's not the case in PUBG at all. So in Fortnite, I like to go to less populated but also very big towns. Like Greasy Grove is a real hot commodity for me. Not a ton of people go there. It's still someplace you're going to find, you know, if you're in a duo, you're still going to find maybe two or three more duos that land there with you max. But that always gives me hot loot. I like Retail Road the best. If you go on the houses side of the Retail Road, there's a couple busted houses there, and those always give me solid loot. PUBG, my rule of thumb is I don't like to jump anywhere that I can't get to without pulling my parachute early. That's kind of my rule of thumb because that means that everybody else is going to be there, especially if you're in a wonky flight pattern where it's going right over the military base and over the south side of the map. You know that 60 out of the 100 people are going to be going to the military base, and the other 40 are going to be all landing in those big areas that surround that vicinity. So I pull my parachute a little ways early. Maybe I'll make it out to the shelter or the prison, some really low populated areas. And if you're in a squad of four, shelter is not really a good place. Shelter will give you just about enough really good loot for two, maybe three people. But those are my kind of places. I like big places, but not the biggest places. The biggest places always seem to, you know, you're going to land on top of a building with at least two other people, and the first person that finds a gun is going to come out the winner there. And that's just not the kind of odds that I like to face personally.
Well, Heath, I want to thank you personally for coming in last second and doing this with me. It has been one heck of a ride. You know, we learned a lot today. It was really fun to talk to you and get your aspect of Fortnite and PUBG. We'll get your Twitter name on there, your Xbox name, so some of these guys can see what you're really about, my friend. But I know this won't be the last time you're on here. I definitely said Rainbow Six Siege is going to be one that you're going to hop on here, and I think we're going to have like a two-hour segment with that one because you're going to go to town on that one. But again, want to thank you, and I'm really glad I brought you in today too, because next time's episode, because you mentioned it, it's going to be a throwback episode, and I'm really excited about this one because this is what I talked about in the first episode, made me a gamer, is we're going to kick it back and we're going to go one of those retro games. We're going to talk about the Halo franchise. And so that's going to be a great one to really wrap up this month with. And so that will be our next one. But I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. You know, this is a really exciting thing to do, and it's starting to grow and really having an exciting part of my life. And so I'm really looking to expand that. And I think the Halo episode next time is going to be a good one. So if you hung in there through this long episode with us, just get ready for Halo next time, because it's going to be a good one. Thank you, everybody.